Welcome to ABC Kids. And today I'm myself. I'm not John the Baptist today. So we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5, and we'll begin with a question. Here's our question. Thank you. How can we be part of God's kingdom? Matthew is all about the kingdom of God. And today we will be thinking about this question. We'll be continuing to think about it throughout Matthew. How can we be part of God's kingdom? Do you guys have an answer to that? Just hold on, because we're going to study it, and then maybe you can tell me what you were thinking at the end of class. So let's take a look at it, and go ahead, Anna, next slide. So when we read Matthew's account of the life of Jesus, we see something interesting. We see that Jesus' life parallels the history of Israel. So I don't know if you guys know a lot about the stories of the Old Testament, you know, with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. And let's take a look at just how that lines up. So going into Egypt. When did Israel go into Egypt? Do you remember that guy who his brothers sold into slavery? He went into Egypt, and then God used him to help a whole bunch of people when there was a famine. Remember who that was? Yeah, and they sold him into slavery, and he went down into Egypt, and he was in prison for a while. Who was it? It starts with a J. You've got the first letter. Can you finish it off, Andrew? Joseph. Yeah, that's your middle name, so that's easy for you to remember. Going into Egypt. Did Jesus go into Egypt? Yeah, he did. And in fact, look at our next one here. For both of them, there was the threat of destruction. Because when the Israelites were in Egypt, there came a Pharaoh who wanted to kill them. He wanted to throw the baby boys into the river. And who was it that wanted to kill baby Jesus? Do you know? It was a king. King Ian?
Pharaoh.
Not Pharaoh this time. He wanted to kill the Israelites in Egypt. But who wanted to kill baby Jesus? This king? Herod, yes. So there was a threat of destruction. And then, Anna? Coming out of Egypt. Israel came out of Egypt to the promised land. Jesus also came out of Egypt. And let's take a look at this verse that Matthew quotes. He quotes this part, "Out of Egypt I called my son." But notice the whole verse here from Hosea. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Now, I have a question for you. Who is being referred to as a son here? Well, Matthew uses it to talk about Jesus. But looking at what Hosea said, this is from the Old Testament. Isaiah quotes this. Who is being referred to? Look at it carefully. "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Who is it talking about? Well, God is the one speaking here. Maybe I should have mentioned that. God is speaking here. Anna? It is about Jesus, but initially it's about Israel. See, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called Israel." You see, Jesus hasn't come yet, and God loved Israel like a son. It was a country. It was a nation of people. So why, Anna, why then does Matthew apply it to Jesus? There's a very good reason why. Because Jesus is fulfilling God's purpose for Israel. What was God's purpose for Israel? Long ago, God promised to Abraham, and then to Isaac, and then to Jacob, a very special promise. Do you know what God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the fathers of the nation of Israel? That through them, he would bring a blessing to the whole world. And that they would be a light, and that they would help other people know God. But you know what? Israel didn't do such a great job. But Jesus is fulfilling God's purposes for Israel. And so in a way, we could say this is about both Israel and Jesus. So let's keep on looking at the parallels. Let's look at the next one, Anna. You know what? Jesus was baptized next in the book of Matthew. And I talked about that when I was dressed like John the Baptist. Well, you know what that relates to with the history of Israel? The crossing of the Red Sea, how God parted the waters in a way that was kind of like them going into the water and out of the water, except they didn't get wet because God parted the waters. That kind of matches up with Jesus' baptism. And then what comes next? 40 days in the wilderness. Well, for Jesus, it was 40 days. For Israel, it was 40 years. And what happened during that time? Temptation. And did Jesus give in to the temptation of the devil? You remember last week? What do you remember? Did Jesus give in when the devil tempted to do a bunch of things that were wrong? No, he didn't. Each time, Jesus did what was right. And each time, Jesus quoted from the Old Testament, talking about Israel in the wilderness. Israel failed, but where Israel failed, Jesus succeeded. And so we see Jesus' life kind of being similar to Israel, but he is fulfilling God's purposes for Israel. And he is succeeding where Israel failed. So let's now take a look at Matthew chapter 5. And so Jesus, you'll remember, was born in Bethlehem, went down into Egypt, and then just like Israel, came out of Egypt back into Israel. Jesus grew up in Nazareth, and then he was baptized by John the Baptist. Now he's back here in the northern part of Israel, and let's see what happens. Now, I've got a question, though. When Moses and the Israelites were in the wilderness, there was a major event that happened on a mountain. I'll even give you the mountain. Please don't do that. Mount Sinai. What major event happened there? Do you know? It didn't erupt, but it kind of looked like it because, Anna, will you go to the next slide? There was fire and there was lightning and there was rumbling and even the sound of a loud trumpet. And God gave something to Moses there on Mount Sinai. What did he give them? Moses came down and he was carrying these stone tablets. And do you know what was written on them? You're exactly right, the Ten Commandments. So on a mountain, God gave Moses the law, the Ten Commandments. Well, now let's look at Matthew 5. And you know what? Where we find Jesus? On a mountain. But he's not going to give the Ten Commandments, but he is going to give some very important teaching. So does anybody know what we call Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7? All together, it's a very important message that Jesus gives. And he talks about the law. In fact, he talks about the law's meaning and a surprising announcement of good news. Does anyone know what it's called? Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount. That makes sense. Jesus was on a mountain. It's the Sermon on the Mountain. The Sermon on the Mount. Seeing the crowds, he, that's Jesus, went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, see, Jesus wasn't standing up like I am. He sat down. And then he taught the people. He sat down, his disciples came to him. Now, I've got a picture here for you, so you can see kind of what, this is where people think it was. It wasn't like a really tall mountain. It was more like a grassy hill, but very beautiful near the Sea of Galilee. So Jesus was sitting here, his disciples gathered around him, and he taught them. So let's take a look at what he taught them. Who is blessed? Now, the word blessed there means happy, fortunate. We could even say lucky. Who is blessed? What do you think? When you look at maybe a certain person, you say, wow, they're really blessed. Would you say it's somebody who's rich or somebody who's poor? What do you think?
Poor.
Well, I think you already know about the sermon because we've been reading about it. But what do most people think? When you think, oh, wow, that person's really lucky, they're really fortunate because they're poor or they're rich. What do you think?
Rich.
Yeah, the rich person. And what about you see one person over here and they're crying, and another person over here, they're laughing and having a good time. Which one do you think is fortunate or blessed? The one who's crying their eyes out or the one who's laughing with their friends?
The one who's laughing.
It seems like it. It sure does. And, well, let's look, though, at what Jesus says. So let's take a look at what he says. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the rich. No. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, who does Jesus say is blessed, is happy, is fortunate? Ian, who does he say is blessed? Right here. Poor in what? Poor in spirit. Now, what does that mean? Poor in spirit. Now, here I've got a picture to maybe help us understand this. Anna, I've got a picture to help us understand it. Anybody know what this guy is? What kind of sport does he practice?
Boxing.
What do you think he's maybe saying right when this picture was taken? He's got his mouth open wide. What do you think he's saying? I think maybe he just won a boxing match. He just won. And how is he feeling? Is he feeling weak or strong? Yeah, he looks like it. Look at those muscles. He's feeling pretty strong. Would you say that he is poor in spirit? What do you think? No. Someone who's poor in spirit, maybe they're bent over like this. Oh, they feel broken in their spirit. Now, if you're boxing, you could get a broken bone, you know? You could get hurt. You could hurt your head. But here it's not about your body being hurt, it's about your spirit on the inside. You know, the way you feel when you fail a test in school. You know, you just feel crushed. Oh, I failed my history test. Oh. Now, when you get 100%, A+, how are you feeling? Oh, yeah, I've got it. I'm really good. That's how this guy's feeling. I'm the greatest. I'm the strongest. Well, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Let's go back to that. Can you go hit the back arrow? Why are they blessed? Jesus gives a reason for why they're blessed. Why are they blessed? Why are they fortunate? Right here at the end of the verse. And we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 2, if you're trying to turn there. But why does he say they're blessed? Who can see it? Because there's a good reason why. Do you see it, Ian? You've got it exactly right. Because when you feel empty, when you feel broken, then you know that you need help. You need God. When you're feeling like you're on top of the world, you're the smartest, you're the strongest, you're the best, you aren't really thinking about God, you're just thinking about how great you are. So the poor in spirit, they know that they need God. And so Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, let's look at the next one. Jesus says, now, what Jesus says may seem upside down to us, but actually he's setting things right side up. All right, now on to the next one. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What do people mourn or cry about? Who can tell me a reason why people cry?
Because
What's that? Yeah, a family member dies. I know that people are going to cry when that happens. What else?
Falling on your knee.
Yeah, you fall and you hurt your knee. Yes, I've cried when that happens. Anyone else? Why do people cry? Yeah. Your pet dies, right. Those are all sad things that make us cry. But you know why all these bad things happen? It's because of sin. Sin causes brokenness, and it separates us from God. And so I believe what Jesus is talking about here is mourning, especially about sin and how it separates us from God. But you know what? When we are sad that we have sinned against God, that's a good thing, because they shall be comforted. There is a comfort. You have a question? Okay. All right, well, let's keep on going to the next one. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, I need a thumbs up or a thumbs down here. Does meek mean weak? Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. What do you think? Does meek mean weak? Okay, some of you guys say no. Some of you guys say yes. Let's look at this next picture. Here we see some wild horses. These horses, they are kind of out of control. In fact, I think they're fighting. These are some powerful horses. But they are out of control. They are not meek. But what if a cowboy got a hold of one of these horses and he trained it. He trained it so that it would go right when he wants him to go right, or go left when he wants it to go left, to whoa and stop when he wants it to. That horse would be meek. Is it weak? No, it's still a very powerful animal, but it's power under control. So meek doesn't necessarily mean weak. Anna, could we go back to that slide? What does Jesus say about the meek? They shall inherit the earth. You know, sometimes it doesn't seem like that. It seems like the people who are going to inherit the earth are the ones that are violent, the ones that are out of control. You know, the people who are just doing wild and crazy things like starting wars and dropping bombs. But Jesus says, no. It's the ones that have power under control. The ones who are gentle, they will inherit the earth. They are the ones who are blessed. All right, let's go ahead two slides to the next one. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, I know what it's like to hunger for ice cream and thirst maybe for some water or some Coke or Pepsi. But what is Jesus, what is he talking about hungering and thirsting for here? It's not food and it's not drink. He's saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for... What does he say? What word does he say? Hunger and thirst for... Righteousness. Those who want to be right with God, they are blessed because they will be satisfied. Yes. Do you and I hunger to know God, hunger to have a right relationship with Him? You know, because of Jesus, we can have a right relationship with God. Because of Jesus, we can be forgiven of our sins. If we mourn, if we are sorry and we tell God, I'm sorry for the things I've done that are wrong, and I don't want to be separated from you. I want to know you. I want to be close to you. We can have this righteousness. It's not self-righteousness. It's not, oh, I'm such a good person. I'm better than you are. No, no. It's about us being poor in spirit and saying, I need God's righteousness. And when we trust in Jesus, our sin is taken away and we receive as a gift the perfect righteousness of Jesus. Well, let's keep on going. What does Jesus say next? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. You know what? If we have received God's mercy, grace, and forgiveness, do you think we should show it to others? Should we be merciful to others if God has been merciful to us? Yes, we should. So if you are merciful, you will receive mercy. Anna, let's go to the next one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure, not so much on the outside. That's sometimes what people focus on, being pure, looking good on the outside. But no, Jesus is talking about purity where? Being pure in our heart. That's where we need to be pure and clean. And what's the promise that Jesus says? Those people will receive, those who are pure in heart. Wow, that's quite a promise. They shall see God. Anna, the next one. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And now, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We started with the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus talked about at the beginning. Now here he talks about it again. And again, someone who's being persecuted. Do you guys know what it means to be persecuted? If there's a person over here and they're being persecuted, how are other people treating them? Ian, can you join us back so we can see you? How are they being treated if they're being persecuted? What are other people doing to them? Maybe Isaac? Yeah, maybe they're being bullied. Maybe they're being taken advantage of. Someone could be calling them names or even hitting them. It's not fun to be persecuted. But Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus has said a lot of important things, and some things that seem maybe a little strange. It's not the way we normally think about things. But what Jesus says is important. It's about how we can know God and be part of his kingdom. And God's way of doing things is the right way. And unfortunately, the way we often do them in our world, it's the wrong way. Let's end in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had to learn about what Jesus taught. And Father, I pray that we will desire to be blessed, that we will think about the things that Jesus said. And I pray, Father, that we will hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we will mourn over sin, and that we will see that we are spiritually poor, that we need Jesus to rescue us and save us. And we thank you for your mercy. Help us, Father, to show mercy to others and to even be willing to suffer to do what is right. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.